Blog Talk Radio.
Bishop, I've heard you in.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfect. You sound wonderful.
Good speaker. Okay. Good deal.
I've merged you in, Bishop. I'm getting ready to count you down. 3, 2, 1. You may start.
Welcome to this special Christmas broadcast produced by our dear friend and a true disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Kayla Padgett, on the 40 radio networks around the world of the Finding My Way Radio Networks, USA/World. We wish to thank her amazing technical and production staff for all their work to make it possible for these broadcasts for the spreading of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. My name is Richard Floyd from Memphis, Tennessee, and I've been asked by Kayla to host this program entitled A Tennessee Christmas. We wish to extend our appreciation to all the invited guests who are joining us for this broadcast. We would like to particularly recognize the following: His Royal Majesty King Mizwati, His Royal Court, and His Council of Swaziland. Dorothy Kisaka from Uganda. The Royal Majesty, His Royal Majesty Joror Faso Adamete, and His Council of Ghana. Sabongalai Mofo King from South Africa, Sandra Godley from the BBC and the UCB UK, Dr. Pearl Kupe, the daughter of Princess Sarawa of Botswana, Dr. Peter, the counsel and friend of President William Ruto of Kenya, Pam McKelvey, former anchor from Memphis WMC TV5 and WREG Channel 3, Dr. Rochelle Stevens, Olympic gold and silver medalist, Pastor Bryant Whitted, Vice President of the Consolidated Missionary Baptist State Convention, Sherry Gordy, the daughter of founder and CEO of Motown legend Berry Gordy, Nathan Thigpen, actor for Tyler Perry, Eric Sommer, writer, screenwriter, and screen director for the inspirational movie Leap Ballerina. As we are praying for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6, we want to extend a most heartfelt welcome to our Jewish rabbi friends, Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Schwartzberg, Rabbi Michael, Rabbi Steinberg, Rabbi David, Rabbi Abrams, and Rabbi Katz. Now please enjoy and be inspired by the beautiful music. We ask that by your prayers you may be encouraged by the messages as well. Let us begin. Greetings and blessings, my brothers and sisters in Christ. As we once again find ourselves striving to focus on the real reason for this season, may we be reminded that if it were not for Easter and the literal resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there would be no reason to celebrate Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As I have pondered on the title for this program, A Tennessee Christmas, I've been reminded of popular music that mentions Tennessee and home in their titles and lyrics. For example, in Amy Grant's song, Tennessee Christmas, we hear these words: I'm going to choose to keep another tender Tennessee Christmas, the only Christmas for me, where the love circles around us like the gifts around our tree. Well, I know there's more snow up in Colorado than my roof will ever see, but a tender Tennessee Christmas is the only Christmas for me. Oh, you know, I want to be home. Or how about Perry Como's song, Home for the Holidays? We remember these words. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays, because no matter how far away you roam, when you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze for the holidays, you can't beat home, sweet home. I met a man who lives in Tennessee, and he was heading for Pennsylvania for some homemade pumpkin pie. Some other songs that mention home are Bing Crosby's I'll Be Home for Christmas and Please Come Home for Christmas by Charles Brown. So wherever your home may be, this theme of being at home with family and friends for Christmas is universal. Why? What is the significance of being able to celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas with loved ones? Do you have special family Christmas traditions with your family? Perhaps reading the Luke 2 account of the birth of Jesus as a family, having your children dress in period clothing and doing a reenactment of Luke 2 scripture account, decorating your home with Christmas, including nativity scenes, gathering together as a family to sing Christmas carols and songs at home, or visiting neighbors singing carols to them, exchanging gifts with family and friends. In years past, one of our favorites has been selecting a family in need and elfing them, which is leaving gifts and food items at their doorstep anonymously. Perhaps as a family, volunteering to serve at a soup kitchen to provide a Christmas meal for the poor and needy. The list is endless of the many, many things that families and individuals do to celebrate and serve at Christmas. The tradition of exchanging gifts has its origins in the gifts given by the three wise men, including gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Hopefully, we focus more on the birth of Jesus and less about exchanging expensive gifts. I'm afraid that for far too many, Christmas had become overly commercialized. Remember, the reason for the season is Jesus. Recently, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Russell M. Nelson, gave his annual Christmas message. On that holy night more than 2,000 years ago near the little town of Bethlehem, heavenly hosts sang for joy at the birth of Jesus. An angel told the shepherds, quote, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Speaking of the joy it is to commemorate this birth, President Nelson issued this invitation to all. Come, let us adore him. Christmas has changed for President Nelson over the years. His childhood memories were made during the Great Depression of the 30s as a backdrop. Money was scarce and gifts were particularly precious. His parents made Christmas magical for him and his siblings. Each year they became a sub for Santa for another family, preparing gifts and delivering them on Christmas Eve. He said, as we drove away from their home, their waving hands and tearful faces brought us the true joy of giving. He loved Christmas music. Then and still does. He shared that every year he and his wife, Sister Wendy Nelson, loved listening to and singing along with Handel's Messiah. President Nelson said he loves the Hebrew meaning of the word hallelujah. It literally means praise to the Lord God Jehovah. Words sung in this oratorio not only apply to the birth of the Lord, but to his millennial reign. The oratorio includes these words as found in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. President Nelson said it was during his young adult years that he began to gain a deep testimony of God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Quote, I came to know for myself that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, who was a precious and chosen vessel. I knew that he really is the Son of God and the central figure in all human history. President Nelson spoke about the incomprehensible magnitude of what Jesus accomplished according to the will of his Father. He condescended to come to earth to complete a feat that was literally life-saving and life-changing for each person, something they could not do for themselves. In Alma, we read that the Savior suffered pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, that he would know how to succor his people according to their infirmities. President Nelson said, during the past few months, I have learned a lot more about pain and its refining influence. Still very active at age 99, he said, referring to the recovery from injuring his back, he said, quote, my heart has been drawn out to our Savior as I've tried to imagine the extent of his suffering. My mortal mind simply cannot comprehend how he took upon himself all the pains, all the sins, all the anguish, and all the afflictions of everyone who has ever lived. The Savior submitted himself to unparalleled spiritual and physical agony in the most supreme act of compassion, one that defies mortal understanding or description. President Nelson said, quote, we revere the babe of Bethlehem precisely because he later offered the incomprehensible infinite sacrifice in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross of Calvary. This offering redeems each of us as we choose to repent and follow him. Then, as his crowning act on earth, he rose from the tomb on the third day, granting each one of us the unprecedented blessing of resurrection and life after death. Many often sing or say, we wish you a Merry Christmas at this time of year. President Nelson said the wish or prayer of his heart for each person had several components. First, he prays that everyone will feel the deep, eternal love the Savior has for them personally. He has perfect compassion for everyone's struggles and rejoices every time they press forward in righteousness, during good times and bad. Jesus Christ has known you since the premortal realm. He knows and sees you now. He sees your joys and your sorrows. He has experienced each of them. Second, he prays that all will gain their own personal witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is filled with godly power, and that because of his grand atoning sacrifice, you never need to feel that you must face life's difficult decisions alone. Earnestly ask, seek, and knock. They have constant access to his power to help, strengthen, and heal them. Third, he prays that everyone will take full advantage of the Savior's atonement, and that through his atonement, by repenting daily, making their lives increasingly pure, and seeking heavenly guidance in all that they do. President Nelson said, in other words, I pray for you to experience the joy of always thinking celestial. Finally, he prays that all will use this holiday season to begin a season of even greater personal worship. Quote, begin anew to study the teachings and the atonement of Jesus Christ. No one on this earth loves you as he does. No one here understands you better or really knows your sorrows and weaknesses. No one on earth has the power that Jesus Christ has. No one here is more eager for you to become everything you can become. No one pleads with the Father on your behalf as he does. President Nelson testified that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior and Redeemer, the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. Jesus Christ is the anointed one, and under the direction of the Father, the creator of all that has been created, he was the great Jehovah, God of the Old Testament, and the promised Emmanuel. He is our great exemplar and our advocate with the Father. Because of his restored gospel, all the blessings of his priesthood are available to all mankind as they come unto him and are perfected in him. President Nelson said, God lives, Jesus is the Christ, and he directs the ongoing restoration of his gospel. Brothers and sisters, let us live in the spirit of hallelujah, ever praising the Lord Jehovah. At this glorious Christmas season, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. powerful message from a prophet of God. You know, the Lord is generous and kind and continually provides the tools we need to navigate this mortal journey. The living Christ is a collective testimony given by 15 prophets, seers, and revelators of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to commemorate the 2000th anniversary of the Lord's birth. All 15 apostles who signed that declaration had been called as special witnesses of the name of Christ in all the world. Their words have extraordinary authority and power. This unique document prepared 23 years ago helps us focus on Jesus Christ and invites his presence into our daily lives. I would like to share that document with you at this time. The living Christ, the testimony of the apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, January 1, 2000. As we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ 2 millennia ago, we offer our testimony of the reality of his matchless life and the infinite virtue of his great atoning sacrifice. None other has had so profound an influence upon all who have lived and will yet live upon the earth. He was the great Jehovah of the Old Testament, the Messiah of the New. Under the direction of his Father, he was the creator of the earth. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. Though sinless, he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He, quote, went about doing good, close quote, Acts 10:38. Yet was despised for it. His gospel was a message of peace and goodwill. He entreated all to follow his example. He walked the roads of Palestine, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, and raising the dead. He taught the truths of eternity, the reality of our premortal existence, the purpose of our life on earth, and the potential for the sons and daughters of God in the life to come. He instituted the sacrament as a reminder of his great atoning sacrifice. He was arrested and condemned on spurious charges, convicted to satisfy a mob, and sentenced to die on Calvary's cross. He gave his life to atone for the sins of all mankind. His was a great vicarious gift on behalf of all who would ever live upon the earth. We solemnly testify that his life, which is central to all human history, neither began in Bethlehem nor concluded on Calvary. He was the firstborn of the Father, the only begotten Son in the flesh, the Redeemer of the world. He rose from the grave to, quote, become the firstfruits of them that slept, 1 Corinthians 15:20. As risen Lord, he visited among those he had loved in life. He also ministered among his other sheep, John 10:16. In ancient America. In the modern world, he and his father appeared to the boy Joseph Smith, ushering in the long-promised dispensation of the fullness of times, Ephesians 1:10. Of the living Christ, the prophet Joseph wrote, his eyes were as a flame of fire. The hair of his head was white like the pure snow. His countenance shone above the brightness of the sun. And his voice was as the sound of the rushing of great waters. Even the voice of Jehovah saying, quote, I am the first and the last. I am he who liveth. I am he who was slain. I am your advocate with the Father, close quote. Of him the prophet also declared, quote, and now after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony last of all which we give of him. That he lives, for we saw him even on the right hand of God, and we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father, that by him and through him and of him the worlds are and were created, and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. We declare in words of solemnity that his priesthood and his church have been restored upon the earth. built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20, testify that he will someday return to earth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, Isaiah 45. He will rule as King of Kings and reign as Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow, shall bend, and every tongue shall speak in worship before him. Each of us will stand to be judged of him according to our works and the desires of our hearts. We bear testimony as his duly ordained apostles that Jesus is the living Christ, the immortal Son of God. He is the great King Emmanuel, who stands today on the right hand of his Father. He is the light, the life, and the hope of the world. His way is the path that leads to happiness in this life and eternal life in the world to come. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son, the first presidency and the quorum of the 12 apostles. A powerful message testifying of Jesus the Christ. I noticed throughout that document, the titles for Jesus included Jesus Christ, Jehovah of the Old Testament, Messiah of the New Testament, Creator, firstborn of the Father, only begotten Son in the flesh, first fruits of them that slept, Redeemer of the world, risen Lord, from the last, Advocate with the Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Immortal Son of God, King Emmanuel, the light, the life, and the hope of the world. You know, as the world moves from the Lord faster and farther than ever before, this document, the living Christ, the testimony of the apostles, was prepared in advance of when we would need it most, and I believe that day is now. It is my hope that as we follow the counsel of living prophets and apostles, we can move closer in our relationship to the Lord. May we, as we recognize this special time of the year, when Christ was born and all heaven and earth rejoiced, the angels fled the hallowed courts on high to herald the birth of their Lord. The shepherds left their folded flocks and hastened to see the newly born Lamb of God. Wise men left their homes afar to worship at his feet and lay their precious gifts before him. Should not we also leave our works of clay and tin to seek and honor him, magnify the talents he has given us, and reach out to our neighbors in peace and love? In this Christmas season, may we each bear witness that phrase, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Let us honor him in our words and in our lives, for Christ has come. He is the promised light of the world. He came to break the chains of darkness and unbelief that bind men's souls. He has broken the bands of death and provided the way to redeem his people. Joy to the world, what a message we can share with the world, that Jesus is the Christ. I bear testimony of this in the holy and sacred name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and wish for each of you a most blessed, joyful, safe, and peaceful Christmas as we celebrate the birth of the Savior. And I say these things now humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.